Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Good morning, church family. Advent is a time of holy expectation, a time of waiting, a time of preparation for the coming of the Christ child. Today, we're going to begin this preparation of our own hearts by lighting the candle of hope.
First, we have a couple readings from the Bible. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Jesus called himself the light of the world. And today we light the candle of hope to remind ourselves of the light of hope he brought into a world filled with the darkness of sin. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for sending Jesus to be a light in the darkness of the world. Thank you, Lord, that when we accept your gift of Christ's love and sacrifice, we also receive his light. Help us to shine your light into the dark and hurting corners of the world. May your light and love radiate from us and give hope to those around us. Thank you, Lord, for the great gift of Jesus and the hope he gives us. Amen.
Amen. Well, I have a song rising in my heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, and that's all I remember this December. I hope it's okay if I stop. Welcome to Christmas. It's great to celebrate together, isn't it? It's just good to get into the Christmas spirit together. They start Christmas so early in the stores these days. I mean, Christmas trees were up in our Costco in September. And I remember going in and thinking, no, Jesus, no, 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 not so early, no, no, no. But it's great to begin the Christmas season, isn't it? Because we of all people have so much to celebrate. Well, today we're going to start a series for December, and it's called Just What I Always Wanted. Just What I Always Wanted. As you know, we had the privilege of raising three sons. God gave us three beautiful boys, and now we are watching them raise three little boys of their own. But our middle son was the most animated of the three. And we were back in the days of the video cameras on your shoulder, you know, and we'd be putting up the Christmas tree and the Christmas music going, and the three boys would all want to have their face in front of the video camera, you know, and this is what we have on our Christmas memories. Our middle son and then his brothers following him. Close up of the tongue. Thank you, boys. Merry Christmas. But we would get to Christmas morning, and the gifts would be underneath the tree, and they'd all be thrilled with their gifts. But one of my fondest memories is our middle son would get, you know, the little things that he had asked for, and invariably there would be under the tree a gift that he didn't know exist, like something that he'd never heard of before.
And he'd be about 4 years old, and he'd rip the paper off, and he'd look at Anton and I or whoever and say, oh, just what I always wanted. The child did not know it existed 5 seconds earlier. But when it was open, it was, oh, Mommy, just what I always wanted. And this little cherub face, and he now has a 17-month-old that has the same cherub face that his daddy does. But it was so much fun, the excitement of just what I always wanted. And I think the world today is looking for something, doesn't quite know what it is, but it's just what we always wanted. And we're trying to find it so hard in all these things. But just there's a longing inside of us to be able to inevitably, invariably say, oh, just what I always wanted. So this morning, we're going to follow the Advent calendar. And I'm going to speak a little bit about hope this morning. We've taken some extra time this morning. You folks okay? I just enjoyed the presence of the Lord this morning. I contend that in the presence of God, he can do something in 5 seconds that would take 25 years of professional counseling. I think the Spirit of God can touch our lives and change us in seconds. And when we become open to the Spirit of God and we receive from him, he can transform us from the inside out. Now, I have to tell you, as a woman, I wish he would transform my hips a little bit. And so I'm waiting for that heavenly body someday. And I tell you what I'm going to eat in heaven, a ton of dessert. And I'm going to be looking at Anton and family and Jesus and saying, give me more chocolate cake. Come on, I can eat this. This is called the season of expansion. And I'm going to try to behave myself. But this is also called the season of hope. And I hope you enjoyed that video if you listened to it, because we as believers have already just what we always wanted. We this morning have hope. Let's look at it. The Old Testament is filled with longing, hoping for a better future, hoping for a redeemer. The psalmist, they said it, actually, I didn't realize it in the video. Psalm 39, verse 7, but now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. My hope is in you. Our Advent video described two words for hope in the Hebrew. Yahal is to wait for, and kaval is tension as we wait. Do you remember it said like that cord? There's a longing. There's an expectation. There is a hope waiting for a better future, waiting for something fresh, waiting for something new that's going to get that longing of just what I always wanted. It's like this little girl in the picture. I want it so bad because I know it'll be so good. I want it so bad. My mom sent a card to a girlfriend of hers way back in the olden days, and the card was about that little girl praying on the front of the card, and into her 80s, my mom used to chuckle about this joke, and on the inside, the little girl is praying, oh, Lord, I want it so bad. I don't know what it is, but I want it so bad. And that's kind of like we are, Lord, I want it so bad. I don't know what it is, but I want it so bad. You see, hope in the biblical dictionary is described as a sure and steady faith in God's promises. I love that the Advent video said hope doesn't always make sense. There's a difference between hope and optimism. My nature is optimistic. I will always see the glass half full. And then if it's really good, I'll drink it till it's empty. But I will always see the glass half full. That's my nature. But biblical hope isn't based on the odds. The odds are that this is going to turn out right. Biblical hope is so much deeper, and I want you to understand that this morning. So I'm going to show you an example of biblical hope. I'm going to take you back to Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to look very briefly at Abram. I'm again this morning cutting my 4-hour sermon down to about 20 minutes, so you're going to witness a miracle. God visits Abram, and here's what he says to him in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 4. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And then it says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. Now, I want you to understand something. God is making an incredible promise to Abram, and he is beginning to produce hope in Abram. Abram and Sarai couldn't have children. And we understand that. We have a couple in our family who were told they would never, ever be able to have children. And today we have a 3-year-old grandson who's an absolute miracle. They conceived and mommy carried him through to 34 weeks. But they were told you will never, ever be able to have grandchildren. Children. We understand the hurt of that. I have to tell you, I cried tears for my son and his wife because they wanted a family. And finally, after 9 years, she conceived, and God gave them this precious little man that we adore. But Abraham and Sarah were old, and they had never had children. And this one comes along and says to them, I'm going to make you a great nation. And you're going to be a blessing to the nations. Oh, by the way, you're leaving where you live. I'd like to imagine Abram going to Sarah. Honey, we're moving. Oh, okay. Where are we going? I don't know. How long are we going to be away? I don't know. What are you going to do for a living? I don't know. When are we going to get there? I don't know. Who are we taking? I don't know. Sarah says to Abram, I just have one word for you. What's that? Idiot. He had a promise and he had hope. Well, Abram and his family lived in Ur and then the city of Haran, which today is in the country of Turkey. And Haran means parched or a road. Either way, it was hot. And I'm thinking if Abram had come to me and said, honey, or if Anton came to me and said, honey, we're leaving this place that's parched and hot, I'd say, woohoo, we're out of here. But if Anton came to me, or if your husband or your wife came to you and said, we're moving and didn't have a plan, you'd think they were ridiculous. I want you to understand that hope in God and promises from God don't always make sense. God gave Abram this promise. You're going to be a mighty nation. Nations are going to be blessed from you. Later on, he says, look at the stars, if you can count them. That's the number of your descendants. And I want you to understand this Christmas season that your hope is based on God's promises. And that God's promises might not always make sense. But making sense and relying on the one who speaks is different. See, we want a complete picture, don't we? I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know that tomorrow at 1 o'clock, you're all going to show up to put lights on the outside of the church. I just know that. And I'm so excited to see you all. And Anton's going to be buying. No, I won't put you in that place, honey. We'll have coffee if you need it. But see, that's my hope. Now, it's an unrealistic hope because you have to go to work and you have families to care. Some of you will show up tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Many. Praise God. I like you, John, already. I like you. But see, God's promises don't always make sense. We have friends back in Ontario, and they were our pastor and his wife, Dean and Wendy Skinner. I don't know if any of you know the Skinner family. We were long out in BC, and Wendy had a mole on her leg, and she was in the doctor's office one day, and she said to the doctor, listen, just take that thing off while you're doing whatever else they were doing. They took it off and sent it for a biopsy, and that night she got a call, get in here tomorrow morning. She was diagnosed with melanoma, and it was aggressive melanoma. And all that was going on, and her husband Dean heard from the Lord. And I don't know how the Lord spoke it to him, but this is how I'm going to speak it to you. He said, take Wendy and go to South Africa. Go live in South Africa. Now, Dean was raised in South Africa, and there was a missionary endeavor he felt God was calling them to. But he said, you and Wendy need to go and live in South Africa. This is crazy. Dean, the woman is fighting for her life with melanoma. What are you thinking? But he had a word from the Lord. God had given Dean hope. And he said, honey, we've got to move to South Africa. People begged him not to take his wife to South Africa because she'll die. But they'd heard from the Lord and they had hope. See, it didn't make sense, but they had hope. Wendy is alive and well, probably 15 years later to this day. When they got to South Africa, the medical team that God put around her far exceeded the ability of the medical team in Ontario. And she got the best care possible. And within a year, our dear friend Wendy Skinner was melanoma-free. And she's cancer-free to this day. See, God's promises and God's hope don't always make sense. Because God's promises don't always give us immediate answers. God places hope in our spirits by His Holy Spirit, but He doesn't always give us an immediate answer. Sometimes we have to move on that hope and just move by faith. I hope in the return of Jesus, because when I go back in Scripture, everything that was written about His first coming was met. Every T was crossed, every I was dotted. And the hope that the Old Testament prophets put into the Messiah coming was fulfilled, even though they didn't see it. I hope in the longing and the deliverance of Jesus for every man and woman on this planet, because He is faithful. I hope for the return of Jesus, because He said He'd come once, so I know He'll come if He said He'd come a second time. You see, hope says that God's faithfulness is our answer, not the immediate answers that we want. All through the Old Testament, there's longings and promises given that soothed, possibly, but they didn't always make sense. King David, for instance, loved the Lord, and he was living in a palace, and he, in essence, said, God, I want to build you a temple. I want to build a beautiful home for you. And God said to him, no, you're not going to build the home for me. Your son will. But in 2 Samuel 7:16, he said, but I'll tell you this, Dave, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. It didn't make sense. I want to build you a house. And God says, no, I'll establish your house. I'll establish your throne. David, your throne will endure forever. What? I'm giving you hope, David. Shut your mouth and just accept what I'm saying. See, sometimes we just need to shut our mouths and accept what God is saying to us. Sometimes we just do. I learned a lesson, a very valuable lesson years ago. It was January 1, 1979. My older brother was married, and on his way, I had a younger brother. I'm the girl in between two. And my dad sat us down for family devotions after dinner. Now, you have to understand, I'm raised in a pastor's family. Family devotions were a complete failure in our family. Complete failure, just terrible. We had his Cocker Spaniel, and you know, you'd sit down and start to read the scripture, and this darn dog would be going around the kitchen counter, trying to find crumbs under the counter. We kids all learned to read out of scripture around family devotions. I'll never forget the day my younger brother was reading a psalm, and it was, we send our banners to heaven, and he read, we send our bananas to heaven. Well, that was it. My older brother and I were under the table. And then I once had to read a psalm, you know, where David goes, aha, aha, right? And I'm going, aha, like, our family devotions were a total and complete failure. Do not guilt yourself out of family devotions are hard. But this particular family devotion, my father said, Mom and I are going to retire in a few years. We need money for retirement. My brother at 12 years old was our church organist. He was incredible. He said, Graham, you need a Hammond organ and a Leslie. And he turns to me, a 21-year-old who's happy-go-lucky, ready to take on the world, and says, sweetheart, you know that you are the apple of our eye, that we love you, you're a princess in our home, but it's time for you to have a husband in your own family. What? What? Let me tell you, that was January. In May of this year, in June of that year, Anton and I met. The following May, we were married. My parents, 3 years, moved to West Virginia from Ontario. The money that they received from their home and the economic time that it was provided money for my parents right until the month after my mother passed away. My father's been gone 16 years this month. My mother's been gone 5 or 6. I can't remember which. And my younger brother went down to West Virginia and did an organ recital for them. And at the end of that recital, somebody came up to my dad and said, Pastor David, can I have your son's address? I have a Hammond organ and a Leslie I'd like to give to him, and I need his address. I'd like to pay to have it shipped up. See, my father had received hope somehow. He'd received a word from the Lord, and God fulfilled every single word that God had given him. Anton and I celebrate 40 years next May, and he's getting more handsome every day. I digress. You see, we have hope. Yeah, somebody's happy. Took you long enough. Gee whiz. It's Christmas. You're supposed to be on the ball here. We have hope. We have hope for justice. We have hope for freedom. We have hope for the return of Jesus. This is what we call a holy tension. We're living in the already but not now time of life. We already have all the promises of Jesus. We have already got all the promises of God. But we don't see the fulfillment of them all right now. We'll see that in his coming and his return. And so as saints and believers, we live in this already but not now. We live in this holy tension. We live in a world that's striving. We live in a world that's got conflict. I read a little bit of the news this morning. That was not a good idea. People being killed in London and wars happening here and things going on. And you think, come, Lord Jesus, if you would just come. I'm hoping for you to do something. And there's nothing that says the situation is going to get better. Isaiah lived in this horrid time. He lived to be an old man, I think, in his 80s. I'm trying to remember my degree and some of the courses on that. He lived to be an old man, and his glorious end for his obedience to Jesus was to be sawn in half. And he lived in a time when the blood ran through the streets. The horrors were happening. And into that time, and during his lifetime, he'd heard the word of the Lord, "For unto us a child is born." In the midst of this quagmire, in the midst of this mess, how many times? I wonder when he was being sawn in two, if in his mind he was reciting this scripture, "Unto us a child is born. Unto us there is a Messiah coming. Unto us there is a deliverer coming." Let's read it. "Unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, what this must have meant to Isaiah, of the greatness of his government, there will be no end, because he was living in a government that was horrific. "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Do you know where our hope rests today, church? Our hope rests in the zeal of the Lord Almighty. We can't do it, but he has already. And we have hope. You see, our eyes look at our natural situation, but our hearts, I pray this Christmas season, will begin to look at the eternal. You see, Isaiah speaks over our longing for deliverance. He talks about a mighty God. He speaks over our longing for justice. It says that God will reign over his kingdom with justice and righteousness. And he speaks of the freedom that we are to experience. Prince of Peace. You know what? Often the greatest need for freedom is not outside, it's on the inside, isn't it? Often the greatest need that I have for freedom is on the inside. I think, Spirit of God, you've got to touch me now. You've got to deliver me now. And we go through situations and we're looking for peace because it's just what we always wanted. And God whispers in our ears, "I am the Prince of Peace. I am the God of hope." In fact, if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to know that this day, you can have that peace. You can have that freedom. It's as simple as just saying, "Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life and forgive me of my sin and give me peace." I would love it today if you pray that prayer. Because this Christmas season, more than anything else, we need hope and we need a Prince of Peace. I'm going to use a scripture over this series. And I'm going to ask the music team to come up. We've spent enough time. I've really condensed this. I hope it makes sense to you. But why do we have hope? It's because of whose we are. And I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to show you something about a Christmas adoption story. I'm not going to read all of Ephesians chapter 1 to you, but I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. You see, in our family, we have two adopted children in our extended family. Anton is the only boy of four sisters, and of the biological grandchildren, there were 9 boys and 1 girl for his parents. But then there were 2 children brought into our homes who were adopted, one from Ethiopia, I believe, Nathaniel, and one from Haiti. And I have to tell you, when those children arrived in our sisters and brother-in-law's homes, we were instantly in love. Our niece, who is now in her, I won't tell you her age because she'll kill me if she knew. But anyway, she's an adult. She came as this precious little 6-year-old from Haiti, thin and small and beautiful. And I remember the first year they realized she needed glasses, and so she had these little pink wire-rimmed glasses and black skin. She was the most beautiful little girl on the face of the earth. And our nephew came from Ethiopia when he was 2, and he today is a beautiful athlete and a strong, healthy, gorgeous boy. And Anton and I could not imagine life without those adopted children, because they might as well be our own flesh and blood. They, to us, are some of the most precious kids on the planet, because they weren't born of natural birth to our family, but they were given to us. They were lavished upon us. They became our flesh and blood, so to speak, as a gift. Why do we have hope this morning? We have hope this morning because we've been adopted into the family. We're going to use Ephesians 1 this morning. Ephesians 1, verse 5. In love he predestined us. Now, don't get hung up on that word predestined. It's just, it's a theological quagmire. Don't get hung up there. I'm not going to stop there. Here's what I want you to see. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. It was his great pleasure to adopt us into his family. In love, he brought us into his family, into sonship, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. And Ephesians 1, verse 7 and 8a says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Why do we have hope this morning? We have hope because of whose we are. When I look at the original Christmas story, Mary, you're going to have a baby. It's birthed in you by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, don't put her away. This child is the Son of God. Listen, Mary and Joseph, can I use this word? They were the adoptive parents of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? They took this one who was going to save his people from their sins. And they became, I know she birthed him physically, but in a sense, they were the adoptive parents. Joseph raised this little guy and taught him his trade. Mary raised this little guy. She would have held him in her arms and nursed him and loved him. We went into our son and his wife the other day, and our little 2-week-old grandson was snuggied up in mommy's arms. He just nursed, and he was sound asleep. I don't think there's a more beautiful picture. It's this love that Mary and Joseph lavished on this child. They adopted him into every part of their being, into every part of their lives. And I think that that's the most beautiful picture of God, who lavishes his love upon us and adopts us into his family. And we have hope this morning, not because of who we are, not because of our circumstances, but we have hope this morning because of who Jesus is and because of who we belong to. Church, I have great hope this morning. This world is falling apart, but he's coming. Disease is part of our experience, but he's the healer. Family relationships and strife are what some suffer, but he's the one who brings reconciliation. We have hope because of whose we are. I want you to stand with me this morning, please. I'm going to try to stay away from the microphone. We have hope because of whose we are. I've kind of rushed it through a little bit. And that's okay. Abram became Abraham. And he became the father of many nations, as God promised. Sarah, in her old age, had a baby. Oh, God, don't do that to any of us today. No, Jesus. No, 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 no. Mary and Joseph adopted, so to speak, this precious child named Jesus. And from that moment on, their lives were transformed, and hope had entered the world. What are you hoping for this morning? What's that thing that you've always wanted? Where's your hope? Is it in your finances? Is it in your spouse? In your family? In your job? Where's your hope? Or is your hope nestled in Jesus? I'm going to have the team sing "Wonderful." What a wonderful name it is. And while they do that, I want to pray for you this morning. And you know what? In these last few minutes, I'm going to ask you to come up here if you need something. If you need healing this morning, I want you to come. Karen, I'm going to bring you up, darling. Because you know what, church? Karen has hope this morning. Karen has hope this morning. You see, she has hope because of the doctors. Sure, they're doing a great job. But Karen has hope because Jesus is her healer. We're going to lay hands on Karen and pray for her. So while they're singing, if you have something that you're hoping for, I want you to come forward quickly. We're going to pray this morning. And let's look to the great God of hope. Come quickly. Come quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Come quickly. Thank you. We're just going to close the service. We're going to keep worshiping the Lord. But I just want to bless you this morning as our team continues to play. Be dismissed in the hope of Jesus Christ. Have a wonderful week. Merry Christmas. God is good. Amen. God bless you.
Listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.